Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 85, which is titled Lord Krishna Instructs Vasudeva, text 57. Tam drishva devaki devi,
devi.
Mitaga mana nirgamam,
Menesu vishmita mayam,
Krishnasya rachitim nripa. Tam drishva devaki devi, Mita gamana nirganam, Menesu vishmita mayam, Krishnasya rachitam nripa. This drishva, seeing, devaki, devaki, devi, divine, mrita, of the dead sons, agamana, the return, nirgamam, and departure, many, she thought, su, very much, vismita, amazed, mayam, magic, Krishnasya, by Krishna, Rachitam, produced, Nripa, O King Parikshit. Translation and purport by the disciples of Sri Srila Prabhupada. Seeing her sons return from death and then depart again, saintly Devaki was struck with wonder. O King, she concluded this was all simply an illusion created by Krishna. Text 58. Evam vidyanya bhuktani krishnasya paramatmanaha vivanyanta viyayasya shantyanantani bharata. Sri Krishna, the Supreme Soul, the Lord of unlimited valour, performed countless pastimes just as amazing as this one, O descendant of Bharata. Text 59. Sri Shuta Uvacha ya idam anushranokti sravayadva murashesh charitam amrita kita vanitam vyasa putrai jagad aga vid alam tad bhakta sat krishna puram bhagavati krita chitoyati tad chemadama. Sri Suda Goswami said, this pastime enacted by Lord Murari, whose fame is eternal, totally destroys the sins of the universe and serves as the transcendental ornament for his devotees' ears. Anyone who carefully hears or narrates his pastimes, as recounted by the venerable son of Yas, will be able to fix his mind in meditation on the Supreme Lord and attain to the all-auspicious kingdom of God. Purport, according to Srila Sridhar Swami, hearing the wonderful events of Lord Krishna's life destroys sin in a manner that is perfect, alam, because it is easy. Anyone can easily participate in this hearing, and those who become devoted to Krishna always enjoy wearing on their ears the ornaments of topics concerning him. Not only those who were present at the time of their occurrence, but also Sugadev Goswami, Suda Goswami, all who have heard once, all who have heard since, and everyone in the universe who will hear in the future, all are blessed by the continual recital of Lord Krishna's transcendental glories. Translation again. Sri Sugadev Goswami said, this pastime enacted by Lord Murari, whose fame is eternal, totally destroys the sins of the universe and serves as the transcendental ornament for the devotee's ears. Anyone who carefully hears and narrates this pastime, as recounted by the venerable son of Yas, will be able to fix his mind in meditation on the Supreme Lord and attain to the all-auspicious kingdom of God. Amagyam tamirandashan janajanaslakaya chakshuzimitatan janatasme sri gudavenamaha. So these series of verses glorify the speaking and hearing of Krishna Katha. So people are naturally inclined to hear so many subject matters. So if you open the newspaper, there's so many crime stories, political stories, business stories, then there's the crossword puzzles, then there's the and then there's the classifieds, and then there's the sports pages, and then there's the racing guide and the travel guide. So people by these newspapers each day. So many different subjects, but none of these subjects will actually deliver them from the cycle of birth and death. In fact, all these subjects will simply entangle them more in the modes of material nature. So the three modes of material nature, the three gunas. Guna means mode, but also means ropes. So people are tightly bound up by these three gunas, these three ropes. And the only way to become freed from that is to hear Krishna Katha, regularly hear topics about Krishna. So I'm trying to speak some Bhagavatam now, but I wasn't aware I was going to be doing class this morning, so I haven't had much preparation, so I apologise for that. There seems to be some misunderstanding in the roster. I think Bhagavad Gita was going to be here, wasn't he? I knew he was going to give, but somehow he maybe got caught up with something. Krishna Katha, the benefits from hearing Krishna Katha is that one can get delivered from the cycle of birth and death. Ultimately, we have to remember what is our ultimate goal. Our goal is to remember Krishna at the time of death. So if we've heard about Krishna throughout our lifetime, then it will be easier to remember Krishna at the time of death. The more we've heard about Krishna throughout our lifetime, then the easier it'll be to remember Krishna at the time of death. So Prabhupada created this program where you have Bhagavatam class in the morning. In the early days they had Bhagavad Gita class in the evenings, but most temples now struggle to find a Bhagavad Gita class. But that means you have to do that study on your own. You have to in the evening you should hear also subjects about Krishna. These subjects will cause you to understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and they will just bestow all virtues upon you. It's mentioned here that you can then fix your mind on the meditation of the Supreme Person of Godhead. But all the good qualities here come from hearing about saintly persons. Sometimes the police, they raid the houses of criminals, people involved in the mafia or in crime, organised crime, drug crime. And when they go to their homes, they find in the homes there are all kinds of videos about crime. So if they go to a mafia home and they'll have somebody who's involved in mafia type activities, and they'll have all movies about the God Brother. So the mafia people, they want to learn how to be a mafia person, they'll watch the God Brother, God Brother Volume 1, God Brother Volume 2, I don't know how many volumes they end up doing. That way they learn to become a mafia person. So the police find this, they go to the person's home, and they go to a criminal's home and they find all kinds of crime videos. So if we want to be a devotee, we have to fill our houses with devotional literatures and devotional videos. Sometimes having a television is risky because you can put it onto a channel where all kinds of mundane subjects come on, the news or some crime or some comedy. Even these comedy shows, sometimes devotees think they're harmless, but actually they are not harmless because in these comedy shows, the characteristic of the is that generally people get put down. So the tendency is to deride people, belittle people, the racial stereotypes are there. And you may laugh at the show, but you may imbibe certain subtle qualities by that, the tendency to deride others, make fun of others. Some negative qualities may arise from watching these types of shows on television. So a devotee's house, I mean, in the early days there weren't so many devotional videos, the devotees didn't have a television at all. Now they have a television, but they have to be careful that they're watching devotional videos. But even better than that is to actually study these books of Prabhupada Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Nectar Devotion, Nectar of Instruction. The more we study these books, the more our thoughts become involved in engaged in Krishna consciousness. Just as we said, the person who's interested in business, they will naturally read the business pages of the newspaper, and the person wants to make a lot of money, they might buy the Financial Review. So a devotee should also fill his house with devotional literatures, which will encourage the devotion within the heart. This devotion is not artificial, but it sits within the heart. So it's not that we're artificially trying to make ourselves, but by the subject matter that we associate with, we imbibe the qualities of that subject matter. So if we say buy a copy of the Financial Review and it has all these pages on how you can make money in shares or stocks or property or whatever, or real estate or agriculture, then you'll read through that and your mind will become filled with thoughts of how to get more money. So then the greed will kick in. We know we've been hearing this chapter 85, and the six sons of Vasudeva, they represent the six enemies of the mind. lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, envy. But the subject matter that we associate with, that will encourage us in these things. So if we watch some romantic movie, then that will encourage lust within the heart, isn't it? And if we watch some, even if we watch the news, we may see some situation where somebody's involved in some sort of corruption. Sometimes they have some story that some leader, maybe in Africa, he's involved in all kinds of corruption. But what's the result of watching that news? Then anger arises within the heart. Some situation you actually has nothing to do with you. You have no impact on it. It's not your responsibility. But you watch this news show on TV. You see some corruption's gone in the government. Maybe it's here. Maybe it's overseas. And you become very angry. So there's lust, anger, greed. Right? Greed. So then the person comes on and goes, oh, the stock market's gone up today, and you feel very happy, and the next day the stock market went down today. You feel very, you lament. This is all the results of associating with mundane subject matter. These encourage these six enemies of the mind that we've been dealing with in this chapter: lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, envy. Often on these shows, they show people who live in very wealthy circumstances. They have a big house with a swimming pool, and they drive a nice car, and they have nice clothes. And these all encourage encourage envy within the heart. Somebody's got more than me. And the way to get free from this is to understand the Shastra, understand Srimad Bhagavatam, hear Hari Katha. And the world is suffering due to this lack of Hari Katha. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he made the point that the spiritual world is actually three quarters of the creation, and the material world is only one quarter of the creation. So if they can put out a newspaper every day about what's happening in the material world, then how much more can be said about the spiritual world? Because the spiritual world is actually three quarters of the entire creation. But these subjects will be subjects of Krishna. These will be spiritual subjects, transcendental subjects, that will free us from the modes of material nature. Whereas mundane subjects, they entangle us in the mode of nature. So when we hear Krishna Katha, we hear topics about Krishna, so we're learning material, then naturally we want to give what we've learned to others. That's the next step. I was hearing, listening to a lecture yesterday, and Madhudvisa Prabhu, he was saying in this lecture that in the early days they used to have a very big picture of Lord Nrisingadev in the temple. Lord Nrisingadev pulling Hiranyakashipu's intestines out with his with his nails. And at one stage, one devotee, they downgraded the picture to a smaller size. Well, this is too much for the guests, this very violent scene of Lord Nrisingadev ripping out Hiranyakashipu's intestines with his claws. This person with a lion head and human body, and he's killing the father, and the son's offering prayers and respects to him. Yes, you're killing my father. Very good. So sometimes in the early days, people would come to the temple and say, what kind of religion is this where you encourage your god to kill your parents? People might interpret it like that. What kind of religion is this? So they have these very big pictures of the Lord Nrisingadev, and somebody's going to go, oh, well, people come to the temple and think, well, what sort of religion is this? You're encouraging violence, and not only violence, but violence against your parents. And these were the hippie days. There was something of a generational gap between the older generation who were more into economic development and the younger generation who were more into free living or whatever, sex and drugs and rock and roll, what it amounted to. So someone actually reduced it to a small picture, and then Prabhupada said, no, you should leave it as a big picture, because that will force you to preach. So people come and, what's this guy with a lion head and human body ripping the intestines out of Hiranyakashipu? And they see this big picture, and then you'll be forced to preach. So Prabhupada wanted the devotees to preach. So this is the benefit. If we study, then naturally when we teach, then we become more, we learn the subject matter more thoroughly. So it's said that if you hear Bhagavatam class, you get a certain amount of benefit, but if you actually speak Bhagavatam class, you get nine times the benefit. So because if you're forced to speak, forced to preach, then that will make you understand the subject matter very thoroughly. In terms of understanding any subject matter, there are four factors that are involved. We should understand this. The first factor is that one does one's own study. So one can't just go to school and not do any homework. You have to do the homework, or go to university and not do any homework. So you have to make your own effort. You can't just turn up at the lecture and expect everything's going to fall in your lap. You have to actually do your own homework. So it's not just a question of going to Bhagavatam class or Bhagavad class, but everybody should be studying these books independently. So you have to develop your own thought. The second factor in understanding any body of knowledge, but also with transcendental knowledge, is taking a teacher. So you have to take a guru. You have to find somebody who's very qualified in the subject matter. Nobody can claim to be a doctor simply by studying medical books. Nobody can say, well, I've been subscribed to the medical journal for the last 50 years. And I went to the library at Melbourne University, the medical library at Melbourne University, and I read a few of the books there, and now let me practice as a doctor. Mm-hmm. Now, the medical degree, they have 3 years where you sit there doing lectures and exams, and then you do spend three more years in the hospital, also lectures and on-hands experience. They have 1 year internship in the hospital. So you have 7 years of training, and some of it's hang-on. But you have a teacher that teaches you the subject matter. So a guru, you look for a qualified teacher, somebody who's very expert in the subject matter. So that's the second factor that's very important in understanding any particular subject matter. One has to make one's own effort. One can't expect the guru to do all the work. You can't say, well, I've been in this movement 10 years, I haven't understood anything. Guruji, help me out. You probably haven't understood anything because you haven't been reading and studying. So you have to make your own effort. You have to take a spiritual master. You have to find somebody who's very qualified in the subject matter and learn the subject matter from them. The third factor is exchanges between students. This is a very third. This is one that we should also remember. There should be exchanges between the students. I'll give you an example from my life story. When I was at Melbourne University, I was studying statistics, and I was going to all the lectures and trying to do the homework, but I found that all the other students were picking up the subject matter quicker than I was. So I thought, I was a bit puzzled. They don't seem to be any smarter than I am. How come they're all picking up? I'm going to the same lectures. How is it they're all picking up the subject matter quicker than I am? What I found was that they had a place in the library at Melbourne University where they all got together and they talked about the assignments and the subject matter that was being taught, and they exchanged their understanding, and then by doing that they could put their assignments in and they picked up the subject matter much better. So then when I joined that group, I started to pick up statistics as quickly as everybody else. Once I joined that group that got together in the library and discussed statistics together, worked on the assignments together, and then that helped. So this is the third factor, is that there has to be exchanges between students. I don't consider myself a great spiritual teacher at the moment. I'm just a student helping, and I can see you're also a student, so it's like an exchange between students. We explain what part of the subject matter we understand what's given by the teachers, and if we don't understand something, we can ask from somebody else. Maybe he understood something I don't understand, maybe there's something I understand he doesn't understand. So this way there can be exchanges between devotees to familiarise yourself with the subject matter of Krishna knowledge. Krishna knowledge is a very vast subject matter, and knowledge of the soul is very subtle, because most of the people are not even aware they are a spirit soul. They're thinking they're this body. Now, 99% of the people, they think that spiritual life is some sort of hallucination. They think material life is real and spiritual life is some sort of hallucination. So we can understand spiritual subject. So even if you're part of the very small percentage that take to spiritual life, you can understand it's a very subtle subject matter. So these are three of the four factors. We have, you have to make your own effort, you have to do your own study, you have to, like even university, you have to do your homework, then you have to go to the lectures, hear from the very advanced teachers, and then you have to exchange with the other students, exchange what you understand and what you don't understand with the other students, so that way you can learn from them and they can learn from you. And the fourth factor is time. So we can't expect to understand all this spiritual subject matter in a very short amount of time. It's very subject, very complex. The anattas, lust, anger, greed, man's illusion, they go very deep in the heart. We can't expect to get purified overnight. It's possible, but it's not very likely. Rather, we should be patient. Endeavouring with patience, I think that's one of the Rupa Goswami's instructions in Nectar of Instruction. One has to endeavour with patience. So the fourth factor is time. So the more we absorb ourselves in this Krishna Katha, then the more we become purified in heart, and the more we'll develop our Krishna consciousness. So we have to keep these four factors in mind. So we're a bit flat in our spiritual life. What is the problem? Are we not doing our own study? Are we not reading this Bhagavad Gita, Shrimad Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, Chaitanya Charitamrita? Then we may go a little bit flat in spiritual life. We may forget what we're doing, why we're doing it. Are we not going to classes? Are we not hearing from teachers? Or are we not having exchanges with other devotees? Sometimes devotees get together, but they talk all kinds of prajalpa. Mm-hmm. They talk about what they saw on the TV or what they heard in the news. But the topics should be brought back to the subject of Krishna consciousness. And the four factors are: we're being patient. Are we expecting that everything's going to happen very quickly? But we have to be patient. So we have to have these four factors working for us in terms of Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada suggested that about 2 hours a day of study. So if you hear class for 3/4 of an hour in the morning, then you need to do another hour and a quarter of study during the day. But that was kind of a minimal type of arrangement, minimum of 2 hours a day study. Because these books are very powerful. We'll become puzzled and bewildered by the workings of the material energy. But these books, Prabhupada said, these are non-different from Krishna. So sometimes we're puzzled, bewildered, or we may feel a bit despondent in our spiritual life. We get these books. We get these books that have been written by Srila Prabhupada. We open them up, we read them. And this way we get our confusions cleared, we get our doubts clarified. We become enthused in Krishna consciousness. And there's so much to read. So many books now are out for so many advanced devotees. We can hear all kinds of Krishna katha, but mainly the Bhagavatam, pastimes of Krishna, Supreme Lord, and pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Another great point about these literatures is that we can read them repeatedly and we will continue to get new insights. Prabhupada often made this distinction between the newspaper and his books. He's saying that people buy the newspaper and the next day they throw it out. They pay $1.20 or $1.50, whatever it is nowadays, for a newspaper, and the next day they throw it out. There's no value. But these books are written 30, 40 years ago, and they have continuous value. Each time we open them, we'll get fresher insights, fresher understanding. We'll go deeper and deeper into the subject matter. Just as Krishna is unlimited, subjects about him are unlimited, and our understanding of Krishna consciousness can also... It never gets to the point where we fully understand Krishna consciousness now. Even Lord Brahma, he engineered the universe, but he doesn't understand fully how it works. So he doesn't even get to the end of his understanding how things are happening. Krishna is always making things happen in the most wonderful way. We can see Krishna more and more behind everything. Something puzzles us, we can see that Krishna is behind it. Krishna is behind the three modes of material nature. Krishna is behind the material energy. Krishna is behind the spiritual energy. Krishna has made such a wonderful arrangements. Isn't it? The earth is spinning around the sun. The earth is moving at 60,000 miles an hour, according to modern science. We're all sitting here and nobody even thinks we're moving. we think we're just sitting here in Melbourne, but actually... We're actually moving 60,000 miles an hour. We get in a car at 60 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour. We're conscious that we're in a moving thing, isn't it? Or we're in a plane 700 miles an hour. We're conscious that we're moving. You know, it's kind of, we feel uncomfortable in the plane, the motion. But the Earth is moving itself at 60,000 miles an hour. But nobody's even aware that we're moving. We're moving through space at 60,000 miles an hour, according to science. So these are all Krishna's wonderful arrangements. Materialists, they think everything's come by chance. They think that there was a big lump of matter and it exploded, and then you had a sun, and then a moon, and you had an earth. And it just happens that the earth spins around the sun. It just happens that the sun gives light and heat and warmth. It just happens that the oceans sit in their place. It just happens that the rain falls and that the grass grows. But it happens from a big explosion. But we can say that there's order, there's arrangement there. The sun's rising at a certain time, the moon's rising at a certain time. There's order there. So there must be some organisation. So we can't think that this temple room all came together by chance. But they're saying that the whole universe came together by chance. This is a very foolish conception. So we can see Krishna more and more behind things. The more we study these Krishna consciousness, the more we see Krishna behind everything, purified. So these literatures, they clear simple reactions. They sometimes mention that if you read this particular chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you clear simple reactions. But that's one thing. We may get our simple reactions cleared. You can do atonement. Like the person goes to church and they say they go to confession and they get told to say three Hail Marys or whatever, and they go and say their three Hail Marys, and that's why they do their atonement. Or Vedic system, they may be told to fast on. Sometimes they go to astrology, and astrology says you've got a weak Jupiter, you should fast on Thursdays. So they fast on Thursdays, and that's said to relieve the sins or actions from having a weak Jupiter. So that's one thing, but that doesn't change the desire within the heart. The desire within the heart is still to perform sinful activities. When we hear these Krishna conscious subjects, then we change the nature, the quality of our desires in the heart. We instead of having material desires, which means to enjoy the material modes of nature, goodness, passion, ignorance, we start to develop spiritual ideas for devotional service. So the more we hear Krishna Katha, subjects about Krishna, subjects about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and also Prabhupada Katha, activities of the pure devotee, these subject matters, they're also liberating. We can see what a wonderful when we hear Prabhupada Katha, we can understand what a wonderful person Srila Prabhupada was, or Srila Prabhupada is. But we hear the activities of the pure devotee. These are transcendental activities. This is why there's so many subject matters to hear and so much to understand. We can never think that we've got to the limit of our understanding. So the more we absorb ourselves in Krishna Katha, the more we become purified in the heart, which means that not only do we get cured from our sinful reactions, but we also change the nature and quality of the desires within the heart. So these are wonderful benefits of hearing Krishna Katha. So the more we study, even if one, sometimes people use the argument, well, I'm not really very philosophical, therefore I shouldn't read. But according to your capacity, then you have to do the best you can according to capacity. So some people may be very learned and they may have learned thousands of slokas. Somebody else maybe they're not so learned, so they only have the ability to a certain point. But even if you only have ability to a certain point, you can simply repeat the message of the acharyas. This way people will be unbenefited. Because people are suffering due to lack of Krishna Katha. People don't know why they're suffering. People go to the doctor says you've got cancer. They're in despair. People are having trouble with their relationships. People are having trouble with their finances. And they don't have any higher knowledge that this is all temporary. And they become absorbed in the temporary. They can become absorbed in a world which is asat, achit, and avijja. So the nature of the spiritual world is satchitananda, eternal, blissful, and spiritual. The nature of the material world is temporary, ignorance, and full of suffering. So people absorbing themselves in material subjects, they become absorbed in a world that's temporary, ignorant, and suffering. So we can tell them about transcendental subjects. We can tell them about Krishna. Krishna's in their heart. Very wonderful if we tell people about Krishna. We give the philosophy to Krishna. And the more we give the philosophy, the more we get. It's not that sometimes people give some charity and then they've got nothing. But we give this transcendental knowledge and then Krishna will give us more capacity to understand. Otherwise, if we're reading and we don't preach, then we tend to be dry up. We're holding things back. So we hold back. We don't give out this knowledge to others. Then we hold it back. Then we won't get so much more for ourselves. But the more we go out, we'll be challenged when we preach because people will put up opposing arguments. People will put their confusions before us. We'll be challenged. Then if we can't answer their questions, well, then we have to go back and do more study. That will inspire us to do more study so that we can actually go out and preach and never be defeated or never be confused like this. So the more we give it out. So the more we give out, then the more we will receive. The more we give out this love of Godhead, this transcendental subject matter, the more we receive. So it's saying that you get one level of benefit by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, but the US said you get nine times the benefit by speaking. So everybody should try to become qualified to give Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam classes. You may be nervous initially. Prabhupada said actually even he was nervous initially. He said like when had to go up and speak Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. He said he was nervous initially. It can be intimidating going in front of 20, 30 people and speaking Krishna and trying to speak something philosophical, trying to keep people interested, trying to keep people amused or entertained or whatever. I figure there's a big entertainment industry out there, isn't there? There's so many channels of TV and radio, and sometimes when you give Bhagavatam, I think, how am I going to compete with all these people, these professional comedians and professional disc jockeys and professional radio announcers? How am I going to compete with all these people? Well, how are you going to compete? You're going to compete because you're giving transcendental subject matter. You're going to actually touch the soul of people. These people, they may be professional comedians or professional disc jockeys or whatever, but they're not touching the hearts of people. They may be entertaining music people at the end, but at the end, people's lives, they're not affecting any type of change in a person's life. So by preaching, we want to affect some sort of change in people's lives. We want them to hear Krishna. We want them to be inspired in Krishna consciousness. So like this, the more we preach, and the more inspired to preach, then the more opportunity Vasudhi Krishna will give us to preach. But if you hold the knowledge back, then it won't flourish so much. Because it's always good to study, but everybody should be ready to preach and give this knowledge to others. Because people, as we said, people are suffering due to this lack of transcendental knowledge. They're being absorbed in material subjects. As you mentioned, so many material subjects are there in the newspapers, crime stories and political stories and economic stories, the cartoons, the sports pages. But then nobody's getting any particular satisfaction from these subject matters. These subject matters become dry, and so even the next day they throw the newspaper out. There's no question of throwing one's copies of the Bhagavatam out, because these subject matters are eternally valuable. So they're hearing all these subject matters, but they're not... Rabbi calls it literature for crows. Crows eat the refuse. So the people they absorb their refuse subject. They don't actually touch the soul. Vyasadeva, isn't it? He compiled all the Vedic literatures. The Vedic literatures are very exalted. Well, there's something wrong with the Vedic literatures. Vyasadeva, he compiled all the Vedic literatures. But he was feeling morose, and he couldn't understand what the cause of his moroseness was. So he approached Narad Muni. This is, if you're feeling morose in spiritual life, you're trying to do your spiritual life, but you're feeling morose, you should approach your spiritual master. Why am I feeling morose even though I'm trying to do my spiritual life? So yesterday he was also feeling morose. So I'm trying to do my spiritual life. I've compiled all these Vedic literatures. I've given Ayurveda so people will become healthy and fit. I've given Jyoti so people can understand what their future is, and I've given the Mahabharata so people can hear about the activities of great kings, and I've given all the Puranas with all the histories, and I've given the Vedanta Sutra with all kinds of knowledge of Brahman. So I've done everything for the benefit of others. I've produced a wonderful, because he wouldn't think like this, but he produced a wonderful set of literatures, and did it all for the benefit of others. But still, he was feeling somewhat despondent. So he approached Narad Muni, and Narad Muni then explained to him, "Yes, you've given very good, very nice literatures, very good literatures. But you should compile one literature which just simply glorifies the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You've encouraged people in different types of mentalities, fruitive mentalities, speculative mentalities. These literatures, the Vedic literatures are very exalted. They're ultimately trying to bring person to the point of Krishna. But sometimes you read them and you may get caught up in a fruitive or speculative type of mentality. So you may read that if you do a certain activity, you get promoted to the heavenly planets. Life's very nice in the heavenly planets. So you become encouraged to do some sort of activity. You worship Ganesh, you'll have obstacles removed in your business. So it's very common in India that people worship Ganesh, because many businessmen, they have a deity of Ganesh, and then they worship Ganesh. So I think, oh, I'm having so much obstruction in my business, so I worship Ganesh, I'll have the obstructions removed from my business. You read the Jyoti Shastra and it encourages, you're not having a good marriage because your Venus is weak, but if you fast on Fridays, then you can overcome the weak Venus, and then you'll be able to have a normal marriage. Or you wear some gem to your Saturn's a bit weak, so you wear a sapphire, and this will improve your Saturn. Then you'll be able to perform better in Saturn types activities, like be able to focus better, concentrate better. So you read all these literatures and you think, yeah, that's my problem. My problem is my weak Jupiter or my weak Saturn, or my problem, I've got some problem with my health, I've got too much Vata or too much Pitta. You read all this. So yesterday, Narayana was saying, you've done all this, but you should give one specific literature that glorifies the Supreme Person of God. In this way, you've given literatures that encourage people in a fruitive type of mentality, speculative type of mentality, but there should be one literature which simply glorifies the Supreme Person of Godhead. So Bhagavatam. So then, hearing from the spiritual master, yesterday compiled the Bhagavatam, the spotless Purana. So the Puranas are very exalted literatures, but sometimes when you read them, there's that devotee who's given different Puranas, the Kalki Purana, Garuda Purana, Narad Purana. But when you read them, sometimes they may encourage you in a speculative or particularly a fruitive type of mentality. But Bhagavatam, it's spotless, no faults, always encouraging you in devotion to Krishna. So then the Bhagavatam is the cream of the Vedas. It's the commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So in this way, Narad Muni instructed yesterday to compile the Bhagavatam. So therefore Prabhupada gave us Bhagavatam classes each morning, where we hear this spotless prana, we hear this subject matter that simply revolves around devotional service to the Supreme Lord. In this way, we understand what the real purpose of the Vedas is. One reads the Ayurveda, one might think the purpose of this, the Vedas, is to keep good bodily health. But that's not the real purpose of the Vedas. The instructions are there in the Ayurveda, you know, avoid intoxication. These might bring one to the sattvagun, but they don't bring one to transcendence. Avoid intoxication, do yoga, keep the body healthy, don't overeat. All these instructions are there in Ayurveda. Don't undereat, go to bed early. All these instructions in Ayurveda to keep the body healthy. But why keep the body healthy? The idea to keep the body healthy is to engage in the service of the Lord. Without stressing that emphasis of the Supreme Lord, it may be inadequate just on its own to study Ayurveda. So in this way, we study Bhagavatam, study Chaitanya Charitamrita. We absorb our thoughts and consciousness in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then this is the way at the end of life we can remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the ultimate thing. The ultimate goal is to remember Krishna at the time of death, which is mentioned here in the purport, Vinoda Maharaj's purport. Those who become devoted to Krishna always enjoy wearing on their ears the ornament of the topic concerning. So one is always remembering Krishna. At the time of death, one can remember Krishna, and one can be promoted to the spiritual world. Otherwise, people, they will absorb their thoughts in their families or their bank accounts. Then at the time of death, that's how you spend your life, absorbing your thoughts in your family members and your bank account. Then at the end of your life, you'll be absorbed in thoughts of your family and your bank account. Somebody was told they only had a few months to live, and when they were looking at their investment portfolio. The materialistic person, as often as like that, they if they're caught up with all their plans. There was one story that there was a doctor who told his patient that he was going to die. There's no more medical treatment for him. The patient said, "Just give me 4 more years. I've got a few plans that I can fulfill in 4 years." And Prabhupada says that the doctor can't even give him 4 more minutes than what he's allocated. So death is coming to all of us. How do we want to be at the time of death? So this is the long term benefit. There's the Shreyas and the Prayas. The Prayas is something that's short term beneficial. So we won't perform some jagya for material benefits and get some material benefits, but that's only short-term benefit. That's the prayas. Then there's the shreyas, what's long-term beneficial. So the ultimate benefit is to uncover one's spiritual identity. So in the Krishna consciousness movement, we're interested in giving people the shreyas, what's actually long-term beneficial. So this is always the solution. If we're feeling any despondency, lethargy in our spiritual life, then we can read these Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. So it's like almost, sometimes you're feeling a bit despondent, a bit confused, a bit bewildered, you have something you don't understand. You open up the page, and there in the page is the answer to what was troubling you. Because this Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. So it's like associating with Krishna, associating with the eternal spirit. So we've all had this experience. When I first coming, I was amazed. I'd had a whole lot of questions, and I'd just pick up the Bhagavad Gita and I'd read it, and oh, there's the answer to my question. Like that. So in this way, the literatures are non-different. We actually can experience this if we open them and we have something puzzling us or not in our minds. Normally, we say it's actually non-different. From experience, we can understand these literatures are non-different than Krishna. So the more you can study, the more you can read, and the more then you can present this subject matter to others, the more you become familiar with the subject matter, and the more you become Krishna conscious, and then the more chance you have of remembering Krishna at the time of death. So I'll stop there and ask if you've got any comments or questions.
As devotees, should we find out what's happening around us, in the environment?
Prabhupada used to skim the headlines of the newspaper. He said it was not necessary to read the whole thing like it's some sort of shastra. By the time you should read the whole thing, probably would just skim the headlines. Sometimes he would say things like, "We should see what the fools and rascals are up to." So you read it with a certain amount of detachment. In order to preach, we may have to know a little bit of what's going on, but really, people are already absorbing themselves in something. We don't need to add a whole lot of detail. Ultimately, this knowledge is all changing. I was explaining this in the students' class on Saturday night, but ultimately, all these things, even like the laws of physics, like K Kepler's laws and Newton's laws and Einstein's laws, they don't actually work exactly. They just give you an idea of what's going on. So even Lord Brahma, he creates the universe, but he's sort of got an idea how it works, but he doesn't know exactly how it's worked. It's beyond his intelligence even. So we've talked about sort of trying to understand something, and therefore in the university there's always big fights between different people have different theories. Even things like ocean currents, why currents run. You know, like in England, they have a warm current that comes up from the Mexico Gulf Stream. It comes up from Mexico, and it makes the weather more warm there than across the other side in Canada. It's very cold on the Canadian side, but it's warmer because they get this current. So people go to university, they study these ocean currents. But why is it like that? And does it have to be like that? Is it always going to be like that? Now this big thing is climate change. So climate change is kind of like the new religion you have to sign up for. So things were hotter for a few years. The last few months have been a bit cooler. So winter seems to be coming a little bit earlier this year. Who knows? Ultimately, good weather is dependent upon Krishna. If you read all this stuff on climate change, it's all in the newspaper for the last 12 months, and you think, well, everything's depending upon us. We've got to turn off the lights, or not run the car so much, or not have... not consume so much power, and then switch to low voltage light bulbs. Yeah. Funny thing, when my parents they got an electrician. My parents were fairly old. My mother's 77 and my father's 83, and they're not so active. So the council had this free deal to put low volt light bulbs. They change all the light bulbs in your house. My parents had 47 light globes changed in their house to these low watt light globes.
We haven't done here.
Never done here. But then they found when they found that four of them didn't give enough light for them to read and do their activities. So when I got there, first thing they got to do was change four light globes back to the old light globes. So it was kind of funny. You think everything depending on me. It's up to us to use these light globes and burn less petrol. But actually everything, so you read this and after a while you start thinking, well, everything's depending upon us. But actually everything's depending upon Krishna. And you only hear this in Srimad Bhagavatam class. Actually what rainfall we get, what sunshine we get, what air we get, that's all dependent upon the mercy of the Supreme Lord. But the high priests of climate change, they'll say it's all up to us. It's all up to you listening to me. I'm become the priest of this subject matter. So in this way, if you absorb yourself too much in this subject matter, you get bewildered. Sometimes devotees even drift off into these other types of thinking, environmental thinking, or whatever. So we may sort of study these things a little bit to understand what's going on, but we have to bring it back to our knowledge of Bhagavatam, which means we have to be constantly studying this subject matter and understand that. Understand that everything's depending on Krishna. So in southern Australia, like Western Australia, South Australia, Victoria, there's this big anxiety about lower rainfall. This they say is due to climate change. So due to climate change, then there's not enough rainfall. So Western Australia's on water restrictions and South Australia's on water restrictions, Victoria's on water restrictions. And they're saying we've got to therefore build desalination plants and get more crops that don't require so much rain and so on and so forth, and they want a lot of money for research. But the devotee understands that the arrival of reliable rain is dependent upon Krishna. So I often give the analogy example in Perth that sometimes someone doesn't pay their water bill, right? So then what happens is they can't cut off their water altogether because the person might die of dehydration. So they turn the pressure down to a trickle. So the person stands in the shower and drops come down one by one. The idea is the person gets frustrated and they pay their bill. When they pay the bill, then they turn the pressure back up. So this is how they punish somebody who doesn't pay their water bill. So in the same way, we're not paying the water bill. People are not performing yajna. Rather than performing yajna, they're performing all kinds of sinful activities. And therefore the rain is less. Or some places it's raining too much. So you see there were big floods in Thailand and Burma, I think there were big floods. So it rains everywhere. It rains way too much somewhere, and doesn't get enough rain somewhere else. You haven't paid the water bill, then your water gets turned to trickle. So the idea is not to manage the trickle. So somebody might get very clever. It's only coming out of when I go into the shower. It's only coming out drop by drop. So before I go to bed, I'll put a bucket under the shower, and in the morning when I get there, there'll be a whole bucket of water. And this way, I can still have a bath in 20 seconds. So that's managing the trickle. But it's not really smart to manage the trickle, but really smart to pay the bill and get the water pressure turned up so you can have a shower when you want to, not after 6 hours. So we may hear all these things, oh, we've got to do this and that because of climate change and water shortage. But actually you only have to perform yajna. And the yajna for this age of Kali is the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So in this way we can get confused if we absorb ourselves in material subject matter. And therefore we have to bring it back to transcendental subject matter. We have to regularly hear, here on a daily basis. Otherwise we get confused by people with materialistic viewpoints, people with a viewpoint that doesn't take into consideration of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the position of the jiva, why the jiva is here in the material world and what the purpose of the material creation is. So they want to have a world without the Supreme Personality of Godhead, where everything depends upon them to get adequate rainfall, adequate water. But the devotee, he wants to be dependent upon the Supreme Personality of God. He realizes that whether it's a trickle of water or whether it's a sufficient water, it depends upon the Supreme Personality of God. So let us please satisfy the Supreme Personality of God. Because we see particularly in the 10th canto, we see all these activities of Krishna, they're very easily performed. Who here in this class can bring somebody back from the abode of death? Krishna just brought six of his brothers back from the abode of death. Now, who in this room, put your hand up if you can bring people back from the abode of death. So everything's very easy for Krishna to perform. Easy for Krishna to send enough rainfall to Melbourne or Sydney or Perth. Well, very easy for Krishna to do this. Why it's not happening? Because people are sinful. They want the rainfall to grow wine grapes, isn't it? It's funny that when I was here in Melbourne previously, I was here in Melbourne until 2003. And at that stage, they were thinking, oh, there's going to be a lot of money in wine grapes. So they planted all these vineyards along the Murray River. And I thought, well, I wonder how this is all going to end up. This seems a bit sinful, kind of using all this water to grow wine grapes. I mean, how's this going to end up? Well, that's what happened. About 2002, the rain reduced. The Murray is now practically a dead river. And the people who planted all these wine grapes are now having to burn them. They have to turn them back in because there's not the rainfall to it. So if we use the gifts of the Supreme Lord in terms of the sinful activities, then there's going to be problems down the path. So, but we read the newspapers. We remember when they say, "Oh, somebody had to burn their wine, their grape plants because there wasn't enough water to nourish them, so they burnt them." So, like that. And we were, "Oh, it's very sad. They wanted to make some money and they wanted to provide wine for everybody." But no, according to the Vedic understanding, it was sinful, and therefore the rain was being withheld. So in this way, we have to take our understanding from Srimad Bhagavatam, not from what's even being taught at the universities, because the universities try to understand everything without reference to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore the conclusions they make are faulty. The Prabhupada says you make a mistake, and you've got a long mathematics equation. You make a mistake in the first line. And everything subsequently is wrong also. So in the beginning, the university works on the basis we'll try to understand everything without reference to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there's a mistake in the first line. So then everything, though there are so many thousands of books on all different subject matters in the university, ultimately it's all faulty because it doesn't make any reference to the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
I'm just wondering if I'd answer, you could give to someone, I discussed with someone, I told them that God was behind. What ads can I give for the increasing population? It's one size of a city a week, people are increasing. So what would you tell me? In what way would you say that the world behind everything for the least?
Yeah, so the population increases periodically, but Prabhupada said the reason the population is increasing is because people are not going home back to Godhead. People are not interested in spiritual life and not returning to the spiritual world. Therefore, they're having to take repeated births. So naturally, the devotees, they don't have so many children because that they want to engage in spiritual activities and children. If you have a lot of children, then you tend to have to go and work and spend a lot of time taking care of the children, and the husband may have to work long hours at the office or the factory or whatever. So natural family planning means that one is restrained from sex life due to a higher purpose. Some people may go into sannyas, or some of the women may even feel they don't need to be married like this. And what for? Not so one can become a bachelor playboy or playgirl or whatever. But no, for a higher purpose, then one can refrain from sex life. So people are not refraining from sex life. Therefore, there's increase of population. But if people have a higher purpose, then they'll refrain from sex life. So for these seekers, on one hand, you've got people not going back to Godhead because they're not engaging in spiritual life. And the other factor is that people are not being restrained from sex life because they don't have any higher purpose, highest function. In material life, the highest satisfaction one can get is from sex life. So people think that's all in all, that's the ultimate. But the ultimate is actually Krishna consciousness. So we have to give them the higher purpose. I think he's—is it his birth or he's just reappearing from New Zealand? He's reappearing. He's reappearing. I think it's back to Pete that writes up the sloka. So he was feeling great joy within the heart because Krishna Gajara is returning, so he had to make some reference for it. So yeah, this is nice, actually, that one has joy within the heart when a Vaishnava returns and one gets to see a Vaishnava that one hasn't seen for a long time. If one feels joy within the heart, then that's a sign of a healthy spiritual life. So we should always appreciate other devotees' services. There's always two ways the mind can fall. It can fall into the area of criticism and fault finding, or it can go the other way in terms of appreciating and glorifying. So there are two ways the mind can deal with others. So we appreciate and glorify other devotees' services is the healthy alternative to the other alternative, which is criticism and fault finding. So Krishna Gajara is a very responsible devotee, a very nice preacher of Krishna consciousness. And very nice devotee. I think it's Bhakti P. He writes this letter. So he's appreciating Krishna Gajara's service and feeling joy within the heart that he's returning today. So that's the explanation for that, as far as I can understand it. Any other points? Okay, thank you very much. Kantrajam Bhagavatam Ki Jaya.